There has been a serious accusation from the Toronto Star that I use crack cocaine. I do not use crack cocaine.
Have you purchased illegal drugs in the last 2 years?
Yes, I have.
Do you smoke crack cocaine?
Yes, I have smoked crack cocaine.
When,
but
sir?
No, do I? Am I an addict? No.
When have you?
Have I tried it? Probably in one of my drunken stupors.
Has no redeeming value whatsoever.
Am I a talking dog?
Hi, doggy.
And that's very stupid.
Take it or leave it.
This is my house. Allow me to introduce you.
Hello, one and all, and welcome to Disaster Piece. My name is Justin.
My name is Steve Ward, eh?
Folks, we got a real Canadian in the house today,
which
is important, so we can properly represent the beautiful city of Toronto and all of its glory and all of its scandals. Folks, on Disaster Piece, we like to talk about big, crazy decisions that led to big, crazy productions. Sometimes that's movies, but on episodes like today, we talk about something else. Something else that went horribly, horribly wrong. And Steve and I are going to try to figure out how and why these decisions got made that led to this fucking dumpster fire. And today, we're talking about one thing in particular, one piece of media in particular, but it kind of is more we're talking about one man's life.
Yeah, we haven't done this yet, really. Like, just like focus kind of on one guy. And there is a piece of media and then several subsequent tiny little pieces of media that we're really going to dive into. But this is very much just a show about the crack smoking mayor of Toronto and how that happened. Now, obviously, we always say we're going to go into the details. We probably don't know that much about Rob Ford's life to really get into why. What led him to a life of addiction and politics. But it definitely led to this insane show that he produced with his brother to try to clear his name, I think.
He was trying to get reelected as well.
Yes,
this was
of
also
course.
Part of his reelection campaign. And yeah, folks, in 2013, the crack smoking mayor of Toronto had a very brief Fox News style TV reality talk show.
And when we say brief, we mean it lasted about an hour.
40 minutes of content, and the next day, it was gone forever.
It was gone. And, it was on Sun TV, and I'm sure we'll get into all this, but Sun is very much the right-leaning publication, you know, very comparable in New York to The Post, you know.
Sure.
So it's not like they have a whole lot of integrity in the first place. So for them to watch this and be like, oh, I don't think we can do this again is pretty crazy.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll get into this, but it's not that it was unsuccessful in terms of viewership. In fact, it's the most watched thing they've ever done.
Really?
So, yeah.
I didn't
know
that.
So to make the decision to cancel it was, yeah, not like, it was, nobody watched it, it was a waste of money, forget about it. Like it normally is with stuff we cover. This one was actually like, it technically was a success, but we are not going to keep doing it.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize that.
Very fascinating.
That.
Yeah, it's their most watched show they've ever done.
Really? Oh my God.
Yeah. And I will also say, I guess it could probably be its own thing, but Sun News?
Sun News, yeah.
Sun News, that TV channel no longer exists.
Oh, wow. That's actually pretty surprising.
So, yeah, just it got caught up in this weird moment in Toronto politics, which obviously, if you're talking about Toronto politics for the last 20 years, you're talking about Rob Ford.
Yeah, outside of Toronto, obviously, people don't talk a lot about the political infrastructure of the city. And, you know, there's always things going on in Canada politically, especially right now. There is a whole bunch going on with Trudeau stepping down and, you know, the premiers and prime ministers tend to make more headlines around the world, but most people think of Canada as pretty sleepy and boring. So for like someone to come out just, you know, not making fun of his size, but just a Kool-Aid man his way through that media wall between America and Canada, and just like the mayor of Toronto, quote unquote, nicest city in the world, smokes crack, is insane.
Yeah, it's a wild headline, and it's just fucking true. Like, it's not.
Yeah, he admitted
it. It's not the National Enquirer or something like that. Like, straight up, there's a video of it happening, and he said, yeah, I smoked crack.
And a lot of other crazy things, too.
And a lot of other wild stuff. And I know we, you know, implied it before, but Steve is not only a Canadian, but Steve is very familiar with the city of Toronto.
I am from Mississauga, Ontario, which is part of the suburbs of Toronto, also known as the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area. And I think for a while was known as the Mega City, with a bunch of other suburbs folded into it. And I don't know if that's still a thing, but it is all known as the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area. And that's Scarborough and Etobicoke and Mississauga and Oakville and all those wonderful suburban towns that I grew up in.
Yeah, so we got someone who's in the trenches. And, I mean, when all this shit was really going down, 2010 to 2013, you were in New York.
I've lived in New York since 2007, so I was not in Toronto for this incredible shining period for the city. But I remember being very taken by it all and sort of kind of just thought it was really funny. I know there's a lot of people that are like, oh, there's so many great things about Toronto and why is everyone focusing on this? And the simple answer is because your mayor smoked crack and admitted it. Like, why? Of course people are going to glob onto this.
Literally any mayor for any podunk city, this would still be a story.
Exactly, yeah.
And yet we had a pretty big North American city and one that's a part of what's supposed to be, you know, of all the countries of North America, supposed to be the least controversial country, Canada.
Yeah, we got crack up there too.
Folks, there's crack everywhere.
Yeah. But, you know, the problem is our crack is taxed way higher. So although it pays for health care, you know, it can be a bit of a downfall if you're visiting.
Well, what are you going to do?
How should we approach this? Do we investigate the man first or do we work backwards from the show? What do you think?
I think we can talk about the man.
Yeah, right.
We
gotta set him up.
Got to the point of being offered a TV show, talk show with his own brother.
I thought you were going to say offered the role of mayor of Toronto. Because Toronto's so polite, you just offer it to somebody. It's like, hey, bud, would you like to be mayor?
He gets cast as the lead role of mayor. So Rob Ford, I mean, you know, he was a politician in Toronto for almost 25 years. I mean, Steve, while you were living there, he was also on the city council.
Yes, that's right. I'd never heard of him before becoming mayor.
Yeah, but from 2000 to 2010, he was on the city council, and he was elected mayor in 2010, which he held till 2014. So for 14 years, he was just in the stuff. As a city council member, it seemed like he was always sort of the underdog because he was just like a normal guy. Like,
sure,
yeah, you look at him, he's just like a dude. He's like overweight. His face gets really red. He doesn't know how to wear a suit. He's just like...
If Chris Farley had lived, he would have played Rob Ford on SNL or Jimmy Kimmel or something. Like,
absolutely.
I have no doubt in my mind that he would have made a guest appearance as Rob Ford a bunch of times.
And he sort of made an early name for himself as just sort of like a small-time city councilor from one northern district of Toronto, as being somebody who would, like, be really passionate on the council floor, but then also say some really uncouth shit. Because this whole thing was challenging all the fucking liberal wahoos
right.
who are spending too much money and taxing too much money in Toronto. He wanted to cut all the money, cut all the spending, give the money back to the people. But he did ruffle some feathers. You know, during his city council reign, he fought against spending money on a suicide prevention barrier on a bridge.
Oh, yeah, I know that bridge, yeah.
And he said that they should instead spend the money on rounding up child molesters who were the main cause of people jumping off bridges anyway.
So, oh my God, I don't even know where to start unpacking that. Like spending more money on rounding up child molesters. Like, why not do both?
It doesn't seem like those should be taken from the same budget.
Well, that's just always the conservative talking point, right? It's always like, why are we spending money on this when we could be spending money on this? Also, rounding up child molesters, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. Way more expensive than putting up some netting to prevent people from committing suicide.
Yeah.
And yeah,
to argue against suicide prevention is just a tough thing to get past anyway.
Yeah.
And to deflect with child molesting is really tough.
He's basically saying, like, if these losers weren't molested when they were children.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the only problem now. It's so nuts.
No, yeah. Completely pretty short-sighted, shitty thing to say. He did gain some praise for doing things like, if you're a city councilor, you get offered a ton of benefits. Like, literally, like, you get to go to the zoo for free. You can get free parking in the city. Shit like that. It's just like some, you know, if you work for the city, you get city benefits. And his whole thing is that, like, over his first 2 years as a city councilor, he only claimed $14 spent on this, like, big city budget, which for in his eyes is like, that's thousands that could be given back to the people. We shouldn't get this stuff for free. And
okay.
Take advantage of it.
But it's like, did it go back to, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, if like, it's of all the things to, the battles he picks is so interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's city council. You can't make giant $1 million decisions
sure.
all the time. You're fighting for little bits of money all the time.
Right.
In 2002, he was accused of making racist remarks to another counselor, which he denied. And he put forth to a newspaper reporter, I am not a racist. Anyone who calls me a racist is going to face the consequences. To which the reporter, John Barber, replied, you are a racist. and there were no consequences.
Also, what consequences? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Are you going to give
none,
an old sandwich?
Apparently.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Why I oughta. In 2006, he argued against the city donating money to help prevent AIDS, saying that most normal people should not be concerned with AIDS, which he came under fire
what?
For saying. In 2008, he stated, and I apologize for the language, those Oriental people work like dogs. He later apologized, saying he meant it as a compliment.
Okay. Also, man, real old school slur.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, that first racist remark he made, I think it was against an Italian guy, which, as we've discussed on here before, you're allowed to be racist towards Italians.
Sure.
But
sorry
to
all our Paisan fans, but yeah.
Yeah, old school racism is always so funny to me. I'm like, what? This is not even a normal. That stereotype is from 70 years ago. He also really, one of his big things at the end of his city councilor career was fighting against bike lanes in the city.
Cool.
Saying, roads are for cars, not for hippies on bikes. In 2010, bike lane construction got approved, and one of the first things he did as he was elected mayor is take them all down. So he just takes stands on certain things and just really commits to it. And honestly, especially for a lot of conservatives, a lot our president, sometimes people just like when people are really passionate about specific things, even if they themselves probably never had opinion about bike lanes to begin with. But they're like, no, but listen to him. He's really passionate about how much money we could save. I guess I agree.
Right. And, yeah, exactly.
And it fucking worked because in 2010, he ran for mayor and he won handily.
He won, did. Like, it was a landslide. He won the popular vote and everything.
Yeah, like hundreds of thousands of votes. And he got it. But to really show how much of the, like, blind faith people had, in his 2010 campaign, it came to light that in 1999, he had a DUI conviction. And that came out in the news. And the day that it came out in the news, overnight, his vote share increased 10%. Didn't care. Nobody cared. And then it came out that he was let go because of his political views from volunteer coaching football, which is a thing that he'd been doing, which, I mean, that's shitty.
Sure.
But overnight, that night that happened, he received the most amount of donations for his campaign he's ever gotten. There's just people looking to, like, really support this, like, man of the people who's fighting to get money back in their pockets.
Victimizing yourself.
Right. At his confirmation of when he was elected mayor, he had former hockey coach and television presenter Don Cherry introduce him.
Dude, I fucking hate this guy.
Now, you know Don Cherry?
As a Canadian, I'm a bad Canadian because I don't like hockey. I don't care about hockey. I never did. And Don Cherry is just, he's kind of like the Donald Trump of Canada. He's just this super abrasive, highly conservative, piece of shit TV personality. Loud suits, loud voice, just every, just, I just fucking hate it. Anytime he popped up on TV or anywhere, and he was just this like ambassador of Canada, and he represented all of the culture that I didn't like about living in Toronto, and I fucking hate this dude.
I mean, he sounds fucking terrible. And the very little I read about him.
Do you hear about, read about his line of videotapes that he used to sell?
No.
He had this line of tapes called Rock'em Sock'em Hockey that he used to sell, which was just a compilation of all the fights that would happen in hockey games throughout the year. And there was like, I think 30, 40 of them. And it was just this like, he's just a grifter. It's just like a compilation of just every fight. There was 30 of them. The last one came out in 2018. And I used to hate those commercials. Anyways, I hate Don Cherry.
Well, I'll give you some more reasons to hate him.
Please.
At the confirmation for Rob Ford, he told the press in, you know, in response to Rob Ford's tremendous victory, put that in your pipe, you left-wing kooks. And in regards to the flamboyant pink suit he was wearing, he said, I'm wearing pinko for all the pinkos out there that ride bicycles and everything, which I guess is a homophobic slur. I can't even tell.
Well, pinko is communist.
Oh.
Pinko,
well, there you go.
Commie pinko bastard. So he's wearing pinko to support the pinkos?
He was like, look at me. I'm like one of you guys who rides bicycles. This whole like riding bikes, as if it makes you less of a man to ride bikes.
Even as we get into Ford Nation, the show, they bring this up all the time. These anti-car leftist kooks. It's so weird how they just fucking focus on the bike thing. And also, like, yeah, obviously he was just wearing a pink suit and like thought of that in the moment because like...
Totally.
Yeah. Oh God, what a fucking asshole.
One of the first things that Mayor Ford did is he immediately canceled the $60 fee associated with registering your car in Canada, which is one of the things he ran on. And he did it, and people no longer had to pay $60 to register their car.
Sure.
Sure.
Why sure. Not? Great.
His big claim to fame was privatizing the garbage in the city.
Yeah.
Because there were like big, like, you know, city worker strikes where the trash collectors went on strike for weeks and weeks. And he said, I'm going to privatize garbage, which he did. And it ended a bunch of the strikes and everything went well in that department, except for now we have privatized trash in the city. But many of these little accomplishments would obviously get obscured by the greater scandals in his career, which let's talk about him.
Please.
In 2008, he was charged with assault and threatening to kill his wife.
Oh, wow.
And in 2011, on two separate accounts, the police were called to the Ford house to investigate domestic disputes, including one on Christmas Day, Rob Ford's mother-in-law was convinced that he was about to kidnap the kids and flee to Florida.
This is before he was mayor? Right, yeah, 2008.
That was on 2011. He's already mayor during this Christmas Day scandal.
Cool guy.
In 2006, while he was still a city council member, he was crazy drunk at a Toronto Maple Leafs game, was very belligerent and profane. People took video of it and tried to get him taken off the city council seats. In 2012, now that he's mayor, it's St. Patrick's Day. Crazy drunk again at City Hall. He hosted a party in his office where he knocked down a staffer, insulted many members of the office to their face, stumbled into a nearby restaurant where he did cocaine in the back room, got into a cab, made racial slurs as the driver, then was caught with a bottle of brandy wandering the halls of City Hall at 2 a.m. In 2013, he was accused of groping a mayoral candidate.
Uh-huh.
Also that year, he was accused of making lewd remarks to a female aide who claimed he was going to eat her out, to which he famously responded...
Wait, can we stop? Can we just set this up? We can't. Yeah. This is... Fuck this guy. But this is one of the best comebacks. It's just such a fucking mic drop moment. I believe that like when this quote we're about to say came out too is when shit like... really escalated with him. Like, it's, oh, he maybe smokes crack. And then this got so much play on late night TV. This quote, actually, I think, could we just play it?
Yeah.
Oh, and the last thing was Olivia Gondak. It says that I wanted to eat her pussy, Olivia Gondak. I've never said that in my life to her. I would never do that. I'm happily married. I've got more than enough to eat at home. Thank you very much.
Ow, baby.
Incredible. And again, like, fuck this guy, but damn, that's a good comeback.
Yeah. It's
and also this is in a professional setting too, right? I believe like there's video of this, and he is in City Hall.
Yeah, he's in City Hall,
like outside his offices, surrounded by the media. This is not an off the cuff remark, some TMZ type reporter running up to him on the street. Like he knows there's media there, and it feels like he's prepared this statement almost.
Yeah,
like he's been back pocketing the zinger, waiting for someone to ask him about it.
I know it was too tight. He's fucking. And then, of course, the big one. A video was released that shows Rob Ford pretty clearly smoking crack cocaine. He, for a while, denied it, that it ever happened. And eventually, he said, yeah, all right, I smoked a little bit of crack cocaine. All of this led to him having most of his mayoral duties stripped from him, which were given to his deputy mayor in the last year of him in office. He sought re-election in 2014, and during this re-election campaign, the end of 2013 and 2014, is when he was offered Ford Nation on the Sun News Network, which is him and his brother taking what was actually originally a radio show. Him and his brother hosted a radio show in 2012 and 2013 where they just apparently like detailed the shit they did in City Hall all day, which sounds really boring, but apparently they would also mostly use it as a platform to just like harass their political opponents.
And sure.
People would be like, you can't let them have a radio show on public radio where they just are like using it as a bully pulpit. So they pulled the show after many complaints. And then Sun News, which is the Canadian news network, trying to be sort of like Fox News-ish or whatever.
Absolutely.
Contacted the Fords in 2013 to do a television show. The show would be pre-taped, and they would let the Fords talk about whatever they wanted to do, maybe get asked some questions from people on the street, maybe interview some people. And they taped the first show the day before it was to air.
Really?
Because, yeah. But that might, you know, if that sounds surprising, like, oh my God, they only had one day, it technically has the format of a live show.
Yeah,
it's sort
exactly.
of, it presents itself as a live show.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's an hour long, but there's commercials, so it's about 40 minutes of content. Technically, you could probably film it in an hour. Probably going to do things multiple times. Let's say 2 hours.
Yeah, it has a news quality to it.
Right. And, you know, like, they're getting stuff in their ear. They're reading some stuff off teleprompters. They're cutting to pre-taped footage. Some of it was pretty on rails. But apparently, the first day of shooting, which they did the day before it was to air, took 5 or 6 hours to shoot. And then it was over an 8-hour edit because these guys could not make coherent sentences.
This is edited.
Yeah.
Every time his brother Doug Ford asks him a question, he does start every sentence by going,
yeah. I mean, I can't describe how bad these guys are on TV. And Doug is at least, like, he's clearly watched fucking political pundit shows and kind of knows how we're supposed to keep a show like this running. So
yes.
He's constantly trying to be like, okay, Rob, anyway, let's get a question going. And, like, he's trying to keep it on rails. And fucking Rob.
Yeah, he's obviously more sober and a little more put together than Rob Ford and would go on to have a bigger political career than his brother, as we'll get into. But, yeah, he's definitely just trying to keep this whole thing going.
Yeah, and Rob just rambles, and he fucking sputters and flops around. He cannot make eye contact with the camera.
No.
He's
constantly
looking
down. Well, he doesn't have eyes in this. Do you notice that? Like, you can't. They're so sunken.
Yeah.
Like, he must be fucked up or something. They're just gone. Yeah, and he's always looking down at, like, what seem to be pre-written statements. And I feel like just so long as within every answer he can say, I'm saving the taxpayers' money, is just what they were telling him. Just keep repeating that line over and over again. I only care about saving the taxpayers' money.
Even when asked questions about, like, smoking crack cocaine, he eventually turns it to, like, but I'm trying to save money. I'm a man of the people.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are we talking about?
His other line is, like, I'm in the gym.
Dude, he talks about working out so much.
People are like, so you smoke crack? And he's like, it's okay. I'm working out.
I have a personal trainer. I'm working hard. It's a lot of fun. I'm going to the gym.
It's a lot of fun. He's like, you'll find me. You know,
going to the gym.
A few years from now.
Six months. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be 30 pounds lighter.
And most importantly to the production of this show, it took a lot longer than they thought. They had to spend a lot of time editing it. So all of this is just adding up to be more money for what they thought were basically like, we're just going to throw these two guys in a studio and record for an hour and just put it on TV the next day. Ended up being 13 hours of work.
Jesus.
Most importantly, when they were going to air it, they had a very hard time selling ads on the hour time slot because of the association with the Fords. There were a lot of companies who were not necessarily willing to be associated so directly with the coke, the crack cocaine smoking mayor. So yeah, they were having trouble selling ads, which means they were like, we thought this was going to be easy and probably make us some money. It wasn't. It was hard, and it was hard to sell ad space.
I mean, that does surprise me a little bit because obviously I think a lot of people would tune into this, even just to gawk at it, and obviously people did. Right. So it is funny to me that it was hard to sell ad space, but maybe people just knew it wouldn't last and they were trying to sell blocks throughout a season.
Maybe or just like, their PR team was just like, it's too dangerous to really.
Well, also, this thing starts with like a reel of like all of his wrongdoing from Sun News. This just like worst of Rob Ford.
Yeah, it's like a quick brief history of the shit that happened leading up to this episode.
Right. So, of course, like, again, that too is just such a crazy choice to me. I get it. Like, let's be honest. But then like the rest of it's just such bullshit.
But according to Sun News, it was the most amount of viewers they had ever had for a single airing of a show like this. It even topped a charity boxing match between Senator Patrick Brazeau and Justin Trudeau a couple of years previously.
That's weird.
Super weird. It got canceled within 24 hours. One episode and no more ever came out. But apparently, according to Doug, they had caught the eye of multiple reality television producers, including some in America, and he implied that the likes of Oprah Winfrey and Dr. Oz were interested, which could not possibly be true.
No, maybe Dr. Oz. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. It just cannot possibly be true, especially for how bad the fucking episode is. They apparently said no thanks to these offers because they wanted more creative control and decided to make their own Ford Nation YouTube series, which they released 5 quote-unquote episodes, which each one is split up into a couple different 3-minute chunks.
Yeah. And
Steve, could you just describe what the... So, like, the original show, you know, it's not super produced, but it's in, like, a studio.
It looks like a news program. There's TVs behind TV, them, a table graphics. They're standing up at. It's in a studio. This show is both of them sitting in front of a wrinkled Ford Nation banner. That's the skyline of Toronto at night, CN Tower, the Rogers Centre. But it's so wrinkled and poorly lit.
Printed out giant poster that's so wrinkled.
It's on vinyl. Printed on vinyl. And then they have one camera that's a 2-shot of them. And I think they all both have their own cameras, but they're not set up properly. So whenever they cut to those, the framing is really weird.
Yeah, the jumps are bad.
Listen, I'm not body shaming or anything, but you got to shoot the subjects you have. And if you have a man of Rob Ford's size and stature, don't go for a close-up. It's so jarring when they cut to him and his face just fills the entire screen. Yeah. They all start on like a really weird fade-in with the audio, so you can't even hear what the first few sentences are, and they are just talking some crazy shit.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, the first episode is like kind of dives into the scandal shit pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then some of the next clips are like, so who's going to win the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, they give their Stanley Cup predictions, one called Saving Taxpayers Money. There's one called Football! ! Which I assume is about the CFL, maybe. And then there's one called Deep Dish, where they just like talk about how much they love Chicago because Doug Ford also has like...
Yeah, he's got like business there, yeah.
And then this is the best part. They have a bunch of episodes that feature Jimmy Kimmel or them talking about Jimmy Kimmel. Because they were invited on, or at least Rob Ford was invited on the Jimmy Kimmel show. But they're so excited to be on Jimmy Kimmel. And like, they kind of seem to imply that it lends them some sort of credibility and Jimmy Kimmel is on their side, but they're getting played like a violin. Like Jimmy Kimmel, if you look up Rob Ford, Jimmy Kimmel, there's all this stuff that he's just making fun of them, making fun of them. It's exactly the same thing he did to Mike Lindell, where, like, he ended up getting him on his show, and it's just to embarrass them and make them look even worse. But these guys just don't notice that.
Yeah.
It's so fucking strange. They really think that this is some kind of validation and some kind of victory that they flew all the way to Hollywood to be made fun of on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, the next video they have about this experience is the other guest on that show was Kevin Spacey. And they have a 90-second video talking shit about Kevin Spacey because he wouldn't meet with them. And it's just like, this clip is 10 years old, but it's so funny to be like, you see this guy setting up a clip about talking shit about Kevin Spacey, and they're just like, he wouldn't let us shake his hand.
We wanted to meet the guy. We love him.
Totally. And then Rob Ford says the funniest thing where he's like, I don't know. I didn't recognize him. I don't watch movies. Could you imagine, like, trying to be the mayor of the biggest city in Canada, and you are so culturally unaware, you don't even know what Kevin Spacey looks like in 2012.
Yeah.
Like, this guy is gone.
Fucking oblivious.
I highly recommend the 90-second Kevin Spacey rant by Doug Ford. He is so mad. And when people get mad and rant with the Canadian accent, it's one of the most adorable things that you can commit to audio. It's so funny. They're just so cheesed. And it's so non-threatening. I love it.
Any actor that makes a living off the people that watches shows, he wouldn't take a picture with anyone. We were told you can't take a picture and you can't speak to him. Who does this character think he is?
I don't even know.
He thinks he's God, that he's up there, that no common folk can take a picture.
The whole thing is just so bizarre, especially to, like, you know, I mean, I don't know, like, a lot of the times you think about, like, city councilors for a smaller city or a mayor, it's sort of like, sometimes it almost feels just like, you know, the title barely means much more than, like, we show up and we show up to volunteer rallies. Like,
yeah.
You're not really doing a ton. But when you get up to big cities like Toronto or New York and stuff like that, it's like they're really in the limelight. I mean, like, fucking Rudy Giuliani made a career out of being a mayor. And
absolutely,
like, it's this whole thing. And then so to watch it, like, these actual things happening, and then to see all these news clips of him getting on all these scandals, and then cut to him and his brother in a tiny room against a wrinkled backdrop just talking about, like, scandals, but also who's going to win the World Cup is so strange. Like, in episode one, literally they're like, hey, we got some questions from all around the world. Like, hey, Rob, let me read you some questions. First question comes from Bangkok, Thailand. And it says, like, the first question is, how come you lied about your drug problem? And he goes, first of all, I don't have a drug problem. Second, everyone lies. Everyone does it. Why am I getting in trouble for it? And then Doug's like, okay, Rob, here we go. Second question, who's going to win hockey this year, huh? And then it's like, well, here we go. And they have a really analytical conversation about who's going to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, love, like, Toronto, but it's not going to be Toronto.
They don't hit guys enough anymore.
That's his what thing. He kept saying. He's mad. He's like, they would have won. Obviously, he's a fan of Don Cherry.
Right.
He's saying that, like, the Toronto Maple Leafs didn't get to the Stanley Cup because they weren't bodying enough other players or taking the bodies.
Yeah. And this is right after someone was just like, tell us about your drug problem where you smoked crack cocaine and lied about it for years. And he's just like, I don't wanna. And someone's like, how about them Maple Leafs? He's like, okay, well, let's talk about it. It's so bizarre.
Oh, God. Also, I guess I didn't watch all of them because I just found an episode called The Pride Flag, which I'm watching now with subtitles. And believe it or not, he didn't want the Pride Flag flying at City Hall.
I agree with Steve that I recommend going and maybe watching some of the YouTube clips, and specifically some of the Jimmy Kimmel stuff is very funny. But I do not recommend sitting and watching this 40-minute actual Ford Nation episode that appeared on Sun News Network.
I don't know. I think it's kind of fun to watch.
I mean, I think there's some amazing stuff, but I think at the very least, if you're not willing to, Steve and I can highlight some of the more spectacular things that happened.
Stuff that, like, it takes 1 second to realize they're lying. Like, he has two very specific things about meeting people, and he talks about how, like, one time he was in a restaurant and so many people wanted to see him and say hi to him. It took him 4 hours.
Four hours.
The restaurant. Most restaurants are open about 8-9 hours a day. And this guy is saying he was having dinner, and then on his way out, 4 hours worth of people had to talk to him. If he said an hour, I would have believed it. If he said 90 minutes, I would have believed it. But 4 hours?
I mean, it's actually, this is also coming after his brother said a realistic, you know, fucking little story of saying, like, you know, just the other night I was like leaving, I was in the parking lot. Multiple people came up to me to say, hey, look, ignore the media. We support you guys. And I thought that was really nice. Sure, that's a believable story. And then Rob's like, I was stuck at an Olive Garden until 2 a.m. because people told me how much they loved me.
If this was improv, you'd be like, all right, that's a good yes and, but you got to bring it down a little bit.
Tone it down a little bit.
Yet. And he has another one, too, where he talks about when he goes to, he's like, I went to Hollywood and I couldn't believe how many Canadians were down there and how many people supported us. And he says, I handed out 5,000 business cards. And this is in the YouTube show. He said he went there with 5,000 business cards and left with zero. So I must have handed out 5,000. 5,000 business cards. Most
to
people don't produce 5, that many.
5,000 hands would take days.
Like, you know, it's so insane. 500? Wow, I would think that's pretty cool. That's a lot to hand out 500 business cards. 5,000.
So stupid.
So stupid. It's almost like this guy smokes crack or something.
Pretty early on in the Ford Nation episode, I mean, like we said, it starts off with like a retrospective that's not totally kind to him, which I appreciated the journalistic integrity.
I was surprised, yeah.
Show both. I will say the show in general, it almost seemed like they didn't realize that it's not going to be completely in favor of them because they have one guest on in the middle of it who is giving some hard-hitting questions, and Rob gets pissed. He's just like, I thought this was going to be softball
oh,
questions.
Yeah, that's right. There's four people on this show. That's right.
Yeah. But before we get to that, they take some like
personal. That's what he says. It's like, what do you think we're going to do here?
Your personal life is all anybody's talking about. One of the first things they do is like a man on the street thing where clearly they just went up with the camera and said, hey, do you have a question for Rob Ford? And they go and they get a couple questions. The first person says, hey, do you think that the mayor of the third largest city in North America should be a role model? And he just immediately starts screaming, saying, I'm human. I make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. I've saved the city so much money, guys. The second question is someone saying, hey, you know what? I think Rob Ford's probably getting picked on too much by the media. I'm like, everyone's too focused on his personal life, not his public job. But I still think he should step it down. Not a question.
Yeah.
And then they just cut back to Rob Ford. And he's like, okay, well, I've saved a lot of money for the thing. And he takes it as like a personal affront. And just is like, I'm on the team of poor people. I help everybody. And then this is one of the times where Doug, his brother, is just like, okay, Rob, okay, let's take another question. And he just throws it off. And then the next question, also not a question, just a statement. He rambles more about how much money he saved. And then the last question should be a softball. Someone goes, hey, man, I'm a big supporter. I'm a part of Ford Nation, represent. How are you going to put all this crap behind you and just ramp up for the next election? He's setting him up for an easy, like, appreciate it, man. I would love to put this behind me. Let's talk about the future. And instead, he gets super defensive again and is like, I have to put it behind me. The past is the past. I can't change it. I admitted to my mistakes. I haven't touched alcohol in 3 weeks. And I have a team of people helping me with my sometimes heavy drinking. I don't have a drinking problem, but sometimes I drink a lot. So I have a team of people helping me. Clearly, like, fucking. He's describing rehab. And then he's I'm working out every day, and in six months, I'll be 30 pounds lighter, and if not, I'll eat my words. And his brother's like, yeah, totally, but I think what he was trying to ask, and he tries to once again set him up for a softball. And then Rob's like, I know, but I can't get over the past. Why is everyone yelling at me? And it's like, Rob, chill, dude.
Is this also the rant where he starts like talking shit about the cops because he's being like investigated?
Dude,
is it the
totally.
Same rant?
Well, so right after this, they have like a Sun News contributor come in and do a little like interview.
Oh, right, right, right.
And at one point, the things he brings up is just like, so when you were being investigated, there were like fucking cops spying on you. Are you upset by how much money that cost the city?
And he is. And then like he starts talking about it. And then Doug has to come in and be like, well, listen, I want to say there very plainly, we support all of our police officers. And then Rob Ford says, frontline officers, I go to bat for. We'll leave it at that. Meaning that, like, detectives, internal affairs, whatever. He's like, fuck you guys.
Yeah, and the brother's just trying to fucking save face, being like, but just real quick.
whoa.
Love the boys in blue. And Rob's like, yeah, except for those bastards who watched me in my window. There's even another part where the guy keeps pushing him, being like, you say you haven't had a drop of alcohol in 3 weeks? And he's like, yeah. And the guy's like, well, what about drugs? And he's like, it's been a while. I don't want to talk about it. And then he's like, I'll go and do a urine test right now. And the guy's like, okay, let's do it. And he's just like, well, why don't we make everybody at city council chambers do it? I know some of those guys like to party. And the guy's like, okay, give me some names. Let's talk about it. They should be in trouble too. And he's like, I'm no rat. And it's like, you just tried to rat them out.
He tried to rat them out. And then, yeah, it's that real like conservative, like, well, they party as well. It's like, yeah, well, people like can drink and stuff. And like, yeah. He's also like, yeah, it's really lonely there in Ottawa. So all these people are turning to drinking. It's like, yeah, some people do turn to drinking. But that's not the problem. And then he's also saying, I want everyone tested for drugs and alcohol. It's like, alcohol's not illegal.
Nope.
Like, alcohol's not an illegal substance. And we can have a longer conversation about what should be legal and what shouldn't be illegal. Sure. But as of right now, you as a mayor can have a beer and it's no big deal. Smoking crack is way different.
It's pretty different. It's literally, I mean, is there a worse drug he could have done? Like, would heroin be worse?
I think crack, now listen, the statement I'm about to make, you know, I'm not, this crack is funny. In just the way we perceive media and everything, there is something that is a lightning rod about crack. Crack is not funny. Drug addiction is not funny.
Yeah.
It is a terrible drug that rips lives apart and kills people, but there's just something about it that is in the media is generally seen as like not as like the heroin shooting mayor of Toronto is a much more depressing, somber story for whatever reason because of our conception of it than crack, which maybe it's just the effects that it has on you, whereas like crack makes you like kind of like hyper and like heroin makes you sleepy.
And I also think like crack in our culture is considered very like low class.
Absolutely. Yeah. Rich people and do cocaine, poor people smoke crack.
If he had a cocaine problem, people might even be like, this dude likes to fucking party.
Yeah.
But like, because it's crack and because he already is presenting as like a lower class guy by like being overweight and like not dressing as well as some of like his government counterparts. I think it was also like, it just was like the worst of worlds from a fucking just like perception of the world is like, it's the worst drug he could have taken because of all of our like preconceived notions about this specific drug.
Yeah. And probably our outside of Canada, our preconceived notions about Canada, whereas I'm sure there were some people that were like, there's crack in Canada, you know, like it's just like that the country presents itself as so clean and nice and it's just like everywhere else. Because it's all just marketing. But I'm sure for a lot of Americans, they were shocked to find out that crack cocaine is being smoked in Canada, period.
And then to sort of round out this weird episode of a man ranting and trying to defend himself and his brother just kind of being there to be essentially the producer on set, we come back and they immediately throw to like, suddenly there's another anchor, as if he's like the weatherman.
They throw to
a different part of the studio. Yeah, and they're like, and take it away. And they cut to a different part of the studio. He's in front of a giant TV, like he's a weatherman. And oh God, this part is insane.
It's kind of like, well, here's an editorial now of someone defending Rob Ford. And the defense is generally like, well, fuck that. Other people have done worse or crazier things. And he even goes into American politicians. He keeps bringing up Teddy Kennedy, which it's this weird, again, very conservative thing of like, they're like, oh, yeah, well, like this guy did this and this guy did this and he didn't get punished. And you're like, so he should have been punished. And you're like, yeah. So then Rob Ford should be punished. Well, no, because this guy didn't get punished. And like, it's this circular fucking logic that makes no goddamn sense. And this guy presenting it is so mad.
Dude, yeah, and he's clearly been, like, camera trained, unlike the Fords, but not in a good way, in a way where he's just like, yeah, he's just on this rant where he's literally just saying, other people have done drugs, so stop yelling at Rob about it.
But also, they should have gotten trouble.
Right, but Rob should not, somehow.
This guy doesn't know how precedent works.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we should play a clip. I know one that I would love Nuki to play, which is basically the final one. Can you just bring it up right here? It's him wrapping up everything he's been trying to say.
That's why I support Rob Ford. He's run the city well. despite his private life. And Rob Ford's enemies aren't just bullies. They're undemocratic bullies who act like they, and not the people of the city, own the mayor's office, and that they'll decide Ford's fate. No, 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 no. Ford is a deeply flawed man, but I'd take him drunk over his left-wing predecessor sober. This is Canada. We let voters decide who holds office, not the editors of the Toronto Star or their stockarazzi.
Some other things that maybe you just got to hear for yourself is that at one point, this man compares the barrage of media frenzy that Rob Ford has had to deal with Princess Diana dying in a car crash.
Didn't he say something on the lines of, like, we won't be happy until he's dead in a tunnel?
Yeah. It's fully, like, if you keep this up, he's going to be our next beloved Princess Di.
He also, like, keeps defending him by, like, accusing his critics of, like, is it because he's on drugs or is it because he's fat? Really, really fat. I think you hate him because he's fat.
Three or four times.
Yeah.
Did I mention Rob Ford is fat?
He's standing right beside him. He's like on the other side of the room. And he's just like, I think you hate him because he's a fat piece of shit, right?
His worst sin of all is that he's just so low class, isn't he? He's fat. Oh, did I mention he's fat?
It's just hilarious. And then Rob Ford just is kind of sitting there like, yep, thank you, I think.
There's another great line where, like, it's in this thing where the guy says he's trying to, you know, compare him to, like, you know, the Yahoo liberals. And he's like, he's a normal guy. They drive a Prius. He drives a Cadillac. That doesn't make him normal.
No, it really does not.
I don't know how much a Prius costs, but I assume less than a Cadillac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he's talking about how he's like a normal guy, and they're like, he gets in his Escalade and doesn't like to go to the pride parades.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, yeah, you hate him because he won't acknowledge that gay people exist.
It's like, yeah.
That they have rights.
I do hate him because of that.
It's like, you dumb liberals.
Just because on a nice Saturday afternoon, he doesn't want to go dance in the streets with his fellow gay Toronans.
Yeah, if you can't get behind a crack-smoking, wife-beating, power-abusing politician, like, who can you get behind these days?
Not one of them pinkos on a bike, huh?
There is another thing about this special that is so weird, where I think it's two or three times he defends himself by talking about letting kids sleep on his couch.
Yeah.
He has this, it's very much implied that he, like, drives around, or like kids who are having drug problems will call him and he takes them in. But he keeps saying over and over again, I let kids sleep on my couch.
Yeah.
Which is very weird, probably not true. And if anything, it's probably just him maybe doing drugs with these kids and they pass out, allegedly. You know, like, I don't know, but like, you know, the videos of him smoking crack are with a bunch of young people.
Sure, yeah.
But this whole angle of like, I let kids sleep on my couch. I have no idea what he's trying to achieve with this.
It's fucking bizarre. And I think maybe one of the times he implies that, maybe it was in the web series, it was something where he's talking about how he used to coach football, like volunteer coach football, which he was let go from. And I think maybe at some point he implies that it's like, yeah, like working with those kids there, I didn't want them on the streets because they came from like a bad part of town.
Sure.
I think maybe at least once he implies that like, some of his old football kids he helped out some way. So maybe it's them.
Right.
But either way, yeah, like it's such a weird talking point to just be like, there are kids sleeping on my couch all the time. It's like, what?
So
what
strange.
What are you talking about?
They should not be near you.
I will say, as we're wrapping up talking about the one and only episode of Ford Nation on the Sun News Network, I did find a really, honestly, pretty well done auto-tuned edit of Rob Ford's main talking points, which maybe, Nuki, you can just play the chorus for us.
I made mistakes, but I'm working out every day. I have a lot of work to do. I'm not stepping down. I guarantee you're going to see a change. I guarantee I'm working out every day.
Folks, I went into Walmart the other day, and it was just nonstop. We support you. Ignore the media. Keep moving forward.
And you're going to see action like you've never seen before.
Keep moving forward
like you've never seen before. Stay the course. Stay the course. Formation. I love being there. I love the city. Formation. You didn't kill anybody. Unlike Teddy Kennedy. Formation.
We got the subway train.
Everyone, this was just a trend, or it was just like
auto-tune the news. The Gregory family, the Gregory news? Brothers, was that it?
And that weird auto-tune video, honestly, slightly less weird than the actual finished product. I'll admit, I don't. Besides this small little chunk of his life, I don't know much about Doug Ford. What did he end up doing after? Because folks, we haven't really wrapped up this section of Rob Ford's life. Very shortly after all of this thing, we went up to the re-election campaign. He actually dropped out of his re-election campaign, Ford, because he had a tumor. And he had was in the hospital a lot, so he said, okay, I won't run for mayor. I'll run for city council again, my old seat. And he actually wins it back. But his city council tenure was cut short because in 2016, the man died.
He died. He went up to the big crack rock in the sky.
That's right. Yeah. So, like, all of this happened literally in the last small chunk of his life.
Yeah.
To the point where he wasn't able to do anything after that would ever come close to eclipsing the headline of crack smoking mayor, which actually a second video eventually came out of him smoking crack again. So,
yes.
He's never going to outlive this. But Steve, what happened with Doug Ford? I have no idea. Did he do anything important?
Well, as you would maybe think that like Doug Ford would probably just disappear, kind of in disgrace. Hard to get over this. But Doug Ford had other plans, and he ran a campaign successful enough that he became the premier of Ontario. And you might be asking yourself, what does that mean? That's like becoming the governor of a state. It means you are the head of that state.
That's like crazy. Kathy Hochul.
And he won it on this campaign called Buck a Beer, where he was going to promise that these certain breweries would offer beer for $1 a piece. In Canada, alcohol is pretty expensive. It's taxed really heavy. That's where a lot of the money for healthcare comes from. So he was guaranteeing that you'd be able to go into the beer store, which is what it's called in Ontario, and pick up a 24 case of beer for $24. Buck a Beer. And it worked. And that's what he ran on, and that's what he got elected on.
Oh, my God.
Because, again, it's just that blue-collar thing. It's like people can understand that. You know, you talk about other – it's not dissimilar to what happened in America recently, where it's like the Harris stuff was like a little too heady for people to understand. And like, sure, a $50,000 tax rate rebate on a new small business is a great idea. But when someone's running around being like, all of your problems are going to end, or something as simple as like, it's a buck a beer or no tax on tips –
I'll
you
make
win an
your
election.
Eggs cheaper.
Exactly. So he ran on that, God. And he is still the premier of Ontario.
That's,
I believe,
crazy.
Let me double check. I believe he's still the premier. I don't follow Canadian politics enough because the political system is confusing over there. Parliamentary, what is that? Yeah, he is still. In 2018, he was elected.
My God, buck a beer.
Buck a beer.
It's as simple as that, folks.
Simple as that. Canadians love that beer, you know, eh?
Dude, that's like the fucking things that people running for high school government would run on.
Absolutely.
Nacho day every Friday.
Exactly.
Buck chocolate milk.
Yeah. Like. do you know what this really reminds me of, this Ford Nation thing? Is, as you know, I'm a huge fan of On Cinema at the Cinema. For anybody who's listening that doesn't know, that is Tim Heidecker and Greg Turkington, who do this movie review show, which is... in its execution, very simple. They're just two guys reviewing movies, but it's been on for like 15 seasons, and throughout there's all this lore within it. And throughout the season, every season, Tim's character always gets into some kind of crazy, insane public trouble, very similar to this. And a lot of the seasons will end with like a forgiveness special, where it's just him defending himself, not doing a very good job of it. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of that is influenced by this shit. Because wow. It feels so similar to it, where it's just this, like, fuck you, I'm sorry attitude. Yeah. And, like, the forgiveness is more like you should be – I should be forgiving you for even accusing me of these things. And like, what am I going to become? What's the next? How do I become a better man? And it's all this bullshit. And I just feel like, I don't know, but it reminded me so much of those On Cinema forgiveness specials.
And I mean, you know, and obviously the other one-to-one is like, yeah, just picture fucking Chris Farley coming on Weekend Update once a week being like, guys, look how much money I saved you. I saved you 49 cents at the grocery store, so you got to forgive me doing drugs. Like, it feels, it's already written. It's already, the joke's already there.
Did you see the video of him doing the Jamaican accent?
No.
So it's this video of him in a restaurant called Steak Queen. And it's like, and he's just talking to somebody and he keeps putting on a Jamaican accent and he is fucking wasted. Nuki, play it.
That takes me around 5 months. Bumba. I said, bro, for a minute. Remember, I was five, bumba. Leave me alone, man. They got 5 months. Bumba, man. I said, you know what, your eyes cry.
That's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely, man. It's fucking crazy. And there's like a huge Jamaican population in Canada. Huge. Like, oh boy, Justin, do you want me to teach you how to do a Canadian accent?
Yeah.
So I always had a problem doing it. And as I was saying earlier, although I'm glad I don't speak with one, I find the Canadian accent to be very charming and very silly. So this isn't me. I actually saw an interview with Mike Myers where he breaks it down. He's like, the best way to do a Canadian accent is actually to get into the psychology of it, which is like this idea. He's like, this isn't entirely true, but Canadians are so polite that it influences their accent. So what they do is when they talk to you, they keep talking up and it goes up and you keep extending the final vowel in a word. But when it's your turn to talk, to be polite, I go down. And now you know that it's your turn to talk. Try it.
Yeah, that's really clever because it makes people feel wanted and heard. But at the end of the day, it's about you.
That's it. There you go. That was pretty damn good. Yeah.
Okay.
And if you ever want to tap into it, you just do that. And you just keep going up. And you just kind of extend that last vowel and like kind of put a little bit of a mush mouth on the end of things. And then you just let it go. It goes down. And I was weirdly, sometimes a little bit of a Canadian accent comes out. And like when I see video of myself, a younger version of myself, it's there. I worked very hard in acting school to get rid of it all. And I could never do it until I saw Mike Myers break it down that way. And he's like, this maybe isn't exactly what's happening, but if you think of it that way, it's so much easier to do the Canadian accent. Or more specifically, the Southern Ontario accent.
Sure.
But yeah, there you go, people. Try it out yourselves. We're really Justin and I are going to listen as you try it right now. Go.
Spot on.
You got it. Great job, everybody.
Nuki, you try it. Very nice, Nuki.
Nice. Very good.
We still got to work on your vocabulary, but your accent work is incredible.
Well, Justin, we're come to that part of the show where we got to put this person, this YouTube show, this Sun News program on the disaster scale. And for you at home, how the disaster scale works, it's a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the ultimate disaster, and 1 being, that's not so big of a deal. Justin, where do you put this whole Rob Ford mess on the disaster scale?
See, this is interesting, because if I'm talking about his whole political career and all the scandals, it's different than just this one piece of media.
Right. I guess we got to break it down. Are we doing the Ford Nation show or all of it?
I'll give my scale for the Ford Nation show into the web series. I'll put that as one thing. The one real news broadcast into the five weird YouTube videos. But obviously the content of all of those things are dealing with years and years of scandals and smoking crack cocaine. All in all, because this, like, the show obviously didn't work. It got canceled immediately.
Yeah.
It took so long to make, and it was so much more hassle than they needed. They couldn't sell ad space. The YouTube show is obviously a failure. Yeah, most of the episodes have, like, a couple thousand views besides their Jimmy Kimmel one. It only lasted for 5 episodes. And the content is just terrible. It's nothing except for people talking about sports and then crying and complaining that they're in trouble for smoking crack cocaine while in public office. And Rob Ford is a wife beater and piece of shit. I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10. The whole thing really is pretty disastrous. And it is sort of like the perfect little cherry on top of this dude's fucking shitty career in Canadian politics is this failed TV show, which they tried to make a web series out of that failed even worse. It's a 10 for me. It's I'm going to give it 10. What is the name of a Canadian coin?
Loony or a toonie?
Great. I'm going to give it 10 toonies out of 10, folks.
So 20? That's a 20 out of 10.
Big time.
That's you snuck that in there. That's amazing. I am right there with you. There is nothing successful about Ford Nation from its intent of trying to sort of wipe clean, you know, clean this guy's image up. Doesn't work. From it being just a TV show where we sell advertising, didn't work. Production standpoint, too hard to do. None of it worked. Absolutely nothing of this worked. So for me, it is 10 Timbits out of 10, 100%. And then on top of that, I think I'd even give that to the YouTube show, which yep. again, didn't work, didn't last, and just the Ford dynasty right. in general. Yeah, it's a 10 across the board. 10, that's 30 Timbits total.
Folks, I think that's going to do it for Disaster Piece Nation over here. And all of those scandals you've heard about us, they're not true. Actions speak louder than words. And yeah, we've listen, saved you guys so much money.
Other podcasters have done worse things, okay?
Right.
Other podcasters have done worse things, so we're fine.
Yeah, nobody talks about all the shit Ira Glass has done and that you guys come for us. Folks, if you liked what you just listened to and want to hear more, please go ahead and subscribe, leave a little comment, leave a little rate and review. It really helps us out, and we just appreciate you listening to any of these episodes. We've yeah. done a couple dozen now, so you got your freaking pick of the litter if you want to listen Absolutely. To specific topics or subjects or movies. So give a like, a subscribe, a comment. It would really help us out. And if you want to follow all the things we do, because we're not just the podcast, we also have a live show. Steve, where can they find out information about that?
Well, if you want to find out more about our live show, go to Instagram and follow us at disasterpiece_movie_night. That's where we post about our live show that we do every third Sunday in Brooklyn, New York at a great bar called Wonderville. It's also a good place to keep up with this show as well and all the new episodes we drop, which are every Monday. And Justin, if people want to take a deep dive into Justin Nation, mm-hmm. into Dodd Nation, how can they do that?
You can probably read about one of my many scandals in the Moon News Network, available in Brooklyn, New York. But if you want to hear about the good things I've done, go to justindodd.rocks. That's where you can find out about all of the stuff that I make separate from this show. Steve, where can people learn about Steve Ward Nation?
If you want to be a member of Steve Ward Nation, go to stevejhward.com, and you can fill out all the paperwork and we'll review it and get you your Steve Nation passport as soon as possible. We want to thank Ryan Patterson for our theme song.
Woo!
We want to thank Nuki for producing.
Woo!
And we want to give y'all another thank you.
Everybody gets one kiss on the forehead.
And until next time.
Thank you, friends, for watching Ford Nation on YouTube. We want you to subscribe now. We really, really appreciate you taking the time out to watch us. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, from politics to sports, but more importantly, what you want to talk about. So please send in your questions and we'll address your concerns. Subscribe now to youtube.com/officialFordNation.
Oh, did I mention he's fat?